Hi, I'm Paul Warren,
And I'm Ryan Klein.
and this is another episode of SEO's Dead and Other Lies. Ryan, how are you doing on this beautiful day?
It is beautiful.
It's beautiful here
Thanks
in
for mentioning
Florida
it.
too. Yeah, it's like clear skies.
Unbelievable. But yeah, it's been raining, pouring, cold, windy as of yesterday. And today's the opposite. So no complaints here.
Yesterday we had a tornado warning for most of the central part of the state, minus the town that I live in. So everywhere around me had this tornado warning except for me. So pretty lucky in that aspect. But it was a mess, but now it's just a beautiful day. Can't wait for work to be finished up to go out and experience it.
That
So
sounds really nice. And I'm looking at I know that's for Nice in France, but all that's nice. And that's all I'm thinking about
very
right now.
nice.
Yeah.
So we have a great episode today, and it's a continuation of the series that we've been doing on the local ranking factors. Today we're going to be talking about on-page signals, right? So the stuff that you can do on your own website to give you better rankings in the map pack and how to influence those ranking factors. And this is something that I have to deal with on a very regular basis. Ryan, your agency deals with it all the time too. It's one of the major things that you optimize for. And so we got a lot of experience in this realm, and I think we can bring some pretty good things to the table and good things to help you think about how you should really be approaching local on your website.
I agree. I'm looking forward to it because it's an interesting topic in that you've had the unique experience in really the past couple of years of not always having the ability to control the on page. And you can always, certainly forward some surface level updates, but then you start talking about, long-term links, schema, embeds, it's an interesting aspect of this
Yeah, so
part.
according to like the White Spark study, it's worth about 19% of the overall ranking factors for the map pack. And we do, as you just mentioned, have situations where we can't edit a client's website at all. So we have to make sure that they're handling that 19% on their own, and they have everything set up for success before we can work on the other stuff. But let's say you don't have that issue. This is your website, or you have access to the website. So, what are some of the things that you need to optimize for when you're specifically trying to have better map pack rankings? One of the first things is you always want to have like your NAP info on the page. So, name, address, phone number. It can be in the footer. So, depending on the type of website you have, right? So, if you have something that has one location, this can be a little easier. There's like less steps to follow here. But if it's you have multiple locations, you kind of have to set things up like a little differently, right? And that's like having a landing page for each Google business profile that's really specific to like the address of where that Google business profile is. And you want to optimize everything on that just for that one location. And so I always tell everyone, you might be close to like another city or something like that. It's a bigger city, but if the address isn't in the city, you need to optimize first for like where the location actually is. Right, or open up a different office in that larger city. But one thing, one location, multiple locations, doesn't matter. You still want to have the presence of your name, your address, and your phone number on that web page that's tied to your Google business listing.
Sure. And people are doing these geo pages. We know that we've talked about this extensively in the past, like geo-specific content strategies. They'll create, a city page for their main keyword, but then sometimes people create like a separate office location contact page. So you know how there's like the SEO optimized geo page associated with where the office may be, and then there's just like a contact page with directions, contact form, all that stuff. Where do you recommend kind of pointing it?
I mean, what I recommend is like creating a silo of content that's specific to like that individual location. We're going to use a lot of probably like examples from like the legal industry on in this podcast for the foreseeable future, right? But let's say you have multiple locations. You want to have like what I like to look at is like whatever the main category is of your business listing. So usually it's a specific type of legal practice, right? So it's personal injury. It's criminal, whatever. Like that is like what you want to target for the landing page of like the Google business profile with like for that particular city. And then you want to kind of create these sort of sub pages off of it as a directory. So it'd be like car accident lawyer in blank city, truck accident. You could do things like that. If you wanted to do just like a unique page that's co like co a contact page just for that location, you can. I think anytime that you can provide like more local specific content for like that silo, and then you can write really specific directions to things. You want to do that and just, really keep it tight knit. And then it gives you a really good opportunity of like cross-linking on your own website with like anchor text that's specific to that location, right? And so that's sort of how I've always approached it. And I think at the end of the day is you're really trying to dominate like the rankings in like your local market first, and then expanding after that. You could always do like service area pages after that, right? But you want to have that nailed down, and you want to really kind of create like a mini website, right, within your website that's just for like that location.
We like calling them the Geo Hubs. I think that they had other names, but that's the one that made the cut. And also, it's worth noting a lot of these topics are going to weave together over the ensuing weeks because there's conversations we're having about geos on page. It's a strategy that's been around for decades, probably at this point, and it's not really going away. But the execution does change. And so, on a side note, we've seen geo pages that are too similar to one another not get indexed any longer because Google thinks that you're providing too similar information. It's not anything new. It's not worth in having in the Google index. And so some of these things with differentiating, your geo and the directions and the landmarks and all these things are good for the page and what you're talking about, but it's also important for indexing in general and again, recognized.
Yeah, I think that's become, with the last round of updates, right? Google has been quick to, I think, de-index stuff that it thinks is like lazy content in a way. Maybe it's written with AI. Maybe they just don't think it adds value. But so one of the things that you're going to want to do on page, it's really important to map back rankings, is have schema for those individual location pages, right? And so that gives you another opportunity to kind of clarify that like this isn't the same type of content as like this other location page that you have. There's a service area schema that you can put on these pages that you don't have to have like the local business schema on, right? So you can differentiate things to an even greater extent than just the copy on the page, when you're writing your schema and putting it on these local pages that you have. So that's a really important thing. One thing I do want to, I don't think we mentioned this, is like, well, why do you really care about ranking locally, like or local organically, right? And in my experience, if you have something in the top 10 for like the keywords that you care about, you're going to absolutely have pretty good map pack rankings from it. And it can be a pretty large factor. And you don't always have to do it. I mean, there's lots of niches out there where like it's filled up with directories already, and it's like pretty hard to kind of break into the top 10 for a lot of different types of businesses. You can definitely break into like the top 10, and you're going to see your map pack rankings explode when you do that.
Well, there's a lot of things that, industries we were looking at electricians just earlier this week. And you think that's obviously inundated with, I don't know about Thumbtack being around, but, Angie, whatever she calls herself nowadays, Home Advisor, expertise, Yelp, all these things. And they're like, oh, I can't break into this. Like, how is this even possible? There's just plenty of industries where people don't observe just even the simple checklist of basic SEO. And if they did, maybe they would be in the top three. You can't necessarily look at it and say it's already dominated. The people that are the local players may not even be doing effective SEO in the first place, and don't let that dissuade you.
Yeah, I've also always looked at it as like another opportunity to have like some nap info for my listing. Let's say the top 10 is all dominated by, directories or whatever it is, your Angie's List or something like that. I don't know if I've ever seen the top 10 be dominated, but like hypothetically, if it did, you could still optimize your listings on those websites. I mean, some of them are paid, but you might drive money from it. And so I think, that's a good opportunity for some Barnacle SEO, which you can still do with Yelp, right? Like Yelp is a really easy website to affect the rankings that people are searching within it for different services. You can run really, really simple CTR campaigns and be at the very top of like the Yelp rankings for that very, very quickly.
Are you talking about doing your individual profile and not like the list of results for that particular city? Like
You
you
can do
optimize your
it. You can
profile?
do it for both. Like you can force it to show your profile in that city before like the listed results. And you can also make your listing go up to the top of like their, I guess it's organic for them. I don't know what they call it when you search within Yelp for a service. You
Everything
can,
is paid once you get in there.
Yeah,
So
a
I
little
don't really
bit
know.
under the whatever all the paid stuff, but it's not like a hard thing to do. But you know, if you're in a really impossible industry, you could really kind of look at it like that, I think too. But I promise you, there's some sort of long tail thing too, whether it's truck accident lawyer or something like that, that there's going to be more opportunities to be in the top 10 organically for those terms. So another, you know, you kind of mentioned this, like some of just the basic stuff. And some of that is just like title tags, right? And H1s and the content itself. So I'm a big believer in optimizing for the city and the state in my title tags, because I think sometimes there are multiple cities with the same name. Sometimes they're close to each other in the same, like two states away or something like that. You know, I kind of just spell it out as easily as I can and as optimized as I can for Google. So it would be like personal injury lawyer in Lawrence, Kansas, right? Like I would just, that would be like my title tag. And then I like to sort of just weave in variations of things throughout like the H2s, H1s and H2s across like the rest of like that content, keeping like really local in mind. So not just personal injury lawyer in Lawrence, Kansas, or you can say like, you know, looking for an injury lawyer in Lawrence, you know, that's where you want to have like the variations of like different city terms in there and just really weave it in. And then another thing that you kind of mentioned earlier is doing directions, I think, on like that landing page, where you're kind of looking at things that are landmarks in the area, and then you can kind of do directions from those to like your address and have it written up. And which you can use MapQuest still for this, by the way, if you wanted to do
Oh,
that. It
excellent.
writes out. Yeah, it still exists. I think Google, you know, bought it, you know, when they stole their idea long ago, they bought it and took all their traffic, right? But that's a really quick and easy way to get the written directions of those things. But you know, you might be wondering, like, well, what landmarks do I pick? How do I find it? I just like Wikipedia, like whatever the city I'm in, and it will always tell you like what it considers to be like the major landmarks in the area. And then I just sort of write it from those, because it's like pulling a lot of the same data, and Google's using that data as an entity anyways, right? And so that's just one more thing that you can sort of optimize for.
It's always interesting and kind of talking about this, and people might say that, you know, you guys like crapped on that years ago. You're, you know, flip-flopping on, you know, is it fluff to include this stuff? Is why do I need directions? It's not, if someone's looking for this type of service, do they even really care about the landmarks in the city? And I think that it just kind of correlates with what Google's looking for at that point in time. It's not like we necessarily care about the landmarks. Do we necessarily care to advise people on what the best ice cream parlor is in that town? But if there are these things playing the game that happen with these algorithm updates, it just seems to be the direction that things move in sometimes.
Yeah, I think I just see it more as like it's a useful way to show how to get to like your office, right? So it's legitimately relevant from a direction standpoint to get there, and not necessarily like it's fluff. And this isn't, I think this is something I've done for a long time, and I've done it at scale with, you know, thousand like over 1,000 locations. So it takes a while to write all that stuff. But I think it's sort of one of those important extra steps that you can take that'll give you a little bit of a boost. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's very, very time consuming though. So another thing that I often see left off of client sites, well, not client sites, but I often see this left off of people's websites, is doing a map embed of your Google business listing. And you should always do that. Now, and let's say you have a business with multiple locations. A lot of people will have like a universal footer with like one location in that, and then they'll have like individual location pages, and then they'll have like a different map ad on that. What you really want to do is just limit the number of map ads on that page to being the one that you want to rank in the map pack. And so, you know, if you can turn that off on a universal footer on those pages, I highly recommend doing it. What you don't want to do is add like the maps for like all, you know, things that are in that area that we were talking about, you know, writing directions to things that are landmarks. I would avoid doing that. Just keep it pretty simple for Google. One map embed on there for that specific location that you're linking to on your Google business profile.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it'd be redundant and then it'd be like in a different format, especially if you do the embed towards the end of the page and then the footer comes next. I mean, you're just talking about back to back exactly the same nap and embed.
Yeah, it's just sort of a weird experience. It's not a great user experience, right? And I think all it does ultimately is allows Google to crawl multiple maps and multiple like location specific information on a page, right? So you want to cut that out if you can.
Oh, one thing I wanted to talk about. So you were talking about keywords. You were talking about like the main keyword being, with inflected with different variations, personal jeweler, city, personal jeweler in. But we know that there's been a big rise with near me, by me, close to me searches. And then we've talked to people that are like, oh, those are great searches. I get great traffic. Let's try to sprinkle that throughout the page. And then that one's always interesting conversation because that's kind of awkward in some ways to try to put that into a page without it reading funny and being like especially obvious for keyword insertion. So how people really rank for those keywords without it being so overt?
I just made it really in your face. Like it would be like looking for phone repair near me in whatever city. Like I because if you look at how much of your web traffic is scrolling to like certain parts of the pages, they're probably not really going to read it. And so some of this is you're writing it for Google's algorithm, right? You're writing it for crawlers. Not everyone's going to be able to do this in this situation because some people are, I think, are going to be really specific about the kind of content that they want on their page, and they aren't going to want to do some fluff like that. But in the past, I've literally optimized exactly for those keywords, like as like an H2.
So it was a keyword that you were trying to formulate a certain density because cell phone repair, I'm thinking about the user experience. You land there, looking for cell phone repair and X, you come to the right place, fine. It's not gimmicky, it's just, but it's kind of the nature of maybe that kind of service. But professional service, like looking for a divorce lawyer, you come to the right place, that's,
I mean,
I don't know.
it's
It
a tougher
doesn't
sell
feel the same.
to have an H2 of searching for a divorce lawyer near you, right? Like, I mean, you could do that. It doesn't sound that terrible. So if you can optimize for those exact keywords on page, like I recommend doing it. And you could always probably, this would be kind of funny. I've never done this, but like you could do it probably like in the page title where not people really aren't seeing it, you know? It's not like physically on the page, but like you're still getting that keyword in there. So, but I don't think I've ever seen anyone optimize for like, personal injury attorney near me in Austin as like the page title.
I think maybe for a reason, I suppose, but if there was ever a reason I could think of that you could build some authority and some visibility that way, I mean, backlinking strategy with the anchor text, I think it would be fine if you did the
Yeah.
anchor.
I mean, I think one of the best ways to sort of handle this is even internal backlinking to those pages with like keywords like that. But then, you have to figure out what pages you're gonna have that text on. And maybe it's a blog page or something like that you've done a lot to. You've done a press release for it and build a bunch of traffic to it and build a bunch of links, and then you just pass it off that way. There's a lot of I think there's like a lot of options. Another is like, if you have the ability to add like custom links on your citations and stuff, you could optimize on them pointing back to your site. All easy ways. Yeah, but those are all some good options to optimize for those near me terms. Another thing that I really recommend having on like a landing page when you're optimizing for your Google Business profile is if you can add reviews from your Google Business profile on there. It's just a good thing to show in general. One thing that it doesn't really affect Map Pack rankings, but it does affect click-through rates is if you get like the review snippet, but that's like a whole different world of like you have to get your own first party reviews and host them on your website and then like communicate all that through like schema to show it. And sometimes it doesn't even show it like in the SERPs afterwards.
Well, I was talking with the team yesterday, and we're looking at different types of reviews that are displayed. And so, there's aggregate rating associated with, I guess, web page, or really you can add that attribute or ID whenever you like. But then the product one evidently is one that you can truly manipulate because it's not about reviews, it's about votes. And that's how they kind of know who in
Oh,
it. And then
yeah.
what you can do is, you can't really like game the reviews because it's like it says reviews. So if you have a 4.8 and 120 reviews, you really should be entering in exactly the same information if they're saying aggregate rating for reviews. But for the product, you just go ahead and you say the average rating or like the total rating is 5.0, and then you say the amount of reviews quote there is 50,000.
So
It'll
you just
show up the
tell them.
result.
Yeah, you
Yeah,
just tell it in the
tell
schema.
whatever. We can just take a peek at Morgan right now, and you can see that most of their pages have 55,000 votes that aggregate into a 5.0
It's wild.
rating. And so like votes are ambiguous, right? It's not really associated with anything that you can pinpoint. So really, that's kind of a workaround for that one. Not maybe not as much as like optimization for that page the GVP is pointing to, but if you want some pretty nice looking schema associated with it for your typical, you know, organic SERP, then there's that option to start manipulating.
Yeah. So a couple other, I think, quick things that I don't see a lot of people doing, but I think it's definitely worthwhile doing. And when I've tested these in my own experiences, I've seen some good results from it. One is if you can link directly to your like CID for your Google business listing with something that's optimized. So personal injury lawyer in whatever, I recommend doing that on, you know, in your content on those pages. And then one thing I never really ever seen anyone doing this, you know, within your business profile, you have categories and then you have services. And the way that Google categorizes services and the language they use is really different than what anyone else would optimize for. So you're rarely going to see someone optimize for auto accident litigation attorney, right? Just because like there's not a lot of search volume around that.
Right.
But what you can do is still use the variations that Google has as their services into those pages. And you can add that into like, you can use like the same as and use that in like the schema on those pages as well. And then you're just kind of hyper optimizing for the same thing Google is already referring to these terms as, right? So I think it just allows it to understand it that much more easily.
I really think that schema is underutilized in general, and it updates so often that we're going to have to talk about that soon enough.
Because Well, the schema that we do is not like any other schema that I've ever seen anyone do. It's really, really
for
extensive.
The geos that you're pointing to.
Yeah, for we'll just call it the local business schema for our clients. It's really extensive. It can include things like their bar number, right? A link to like the website to reference that. All type, you know, like the like a list, like an alumni link within it.
Right.
So like wherever they went. So it's really, really extensive. And it's done very, very well. And like before and afters, if you look at how, you know, how they've performed over time. I'm not going to give away any of that. It took me a really long time to figure out how to do it. And it's very customized, and it takes, you know, maybe an hour to do it for an individual client. But you know, if you're listening to this and you want to get a little bit of a competitive edge, maybe look up some resources for creating more custom and unique schema. All right. So those are some pretty good, I think, quick tips. Some aren't very, very quick. Take a little bit of time, but I think some really solid tips for some on-page optimizations that you're going to absolutely see some increases in your rankings from doing. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Really appreciate all of our listeners, and be sure to like, share, and subscribe anywhere that you listen to this podcast at. And if you have any questions at all, you can hit us up at seos.notalize@gmail.com. And with that, I'm Paul Warren.
And I'm Ryan Klein.
And this has been another episode of SEO is Dead and Other Lives.
Goodbye.
Bye.